Hello, homies, and welcome to another episode of Easily Entertained with Maddie McLean. That's me, Maddie McLean. McLean is technically my middle name, but it just has a little bit more of zing zop, boom bop. You know what I'm saying? A little bit more jazz, a little bit more jazzy fizzle, product shizzle. Anyways, we're in a mood today. Can you tell? So glad that you have joined me again this week. There is an overflowing, constant flow, of shit going down. And so today's episode, I wanted to give you a bit of a recap on what the hell's going on, so you have something a wee bit more interesting than the weather to talk about with your coworkers, whoever, your mama, your sister, your brother, your papa, your accountant, your dog sitter, your neighbor's child, than what better way to bond than over a nice salacious celebrity story or two. We usually get down a little bit deeper than that here at Easily Entertained, but there are so many good stories out there that I have so much to unload with you. I figure if I go down the rabbit holes or deep, dark internet black holes, that I might as well pass along that information to you so I can save you the trip, right? That's what I'm here for, folks. So today we are going to talk about Love is Blind Season 5. The first quarter of episodes were released this past Friday, the 22nd. So come the 29th, we'll have three other episodes. They're kind of slicing and dicing it up a little bit different this season. But we'll talk about that and kind of review. I don't know if you're aware or not, but they have quite the controversy against them, alleging inhumane work conditions. So we'll dive into that a little bit. And we'll talk about Kourtney Kardashian being in potential legal trouble, question mark. It's actually quite interesting. And of course, we'll talk about Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner's messy divorce, as well as a new couple in town that almost everyone, if you have ears, has heard about, I think, given just the magnitude of two worlds colliding with the new couple of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And then, of course, I'll give you an update on the Hollywood strikes, because we have had a little bit of a change in status on that, and just kind of break it down for you, because it can be a little murky, a little murky-erky on what exactly is going on. So buckle up, buckle in, and let's get down to it, homies. Man, oh man, what a task it is to simply exist in the Lord's year of 2023. It's unlike any other impeccable piece of entertainment gold, the way that this season, if you will, of life is unfolding and continues to unfold. Unlike many ABC dramas that I shall not name, actual reality that we exist in currently. Although jury's out on if it's really just a simulation, who's to say? But actual reality has not quite jumped the shark after a few seasons. No, it gets better every year. Gets slightly more effed up every year. I'm so proud of myself for also censoring myself to at least that extent. I just really had to point that out for everybody to notate that it has at least happened once, so no promises moving forward. But anyways, back to real life. Instead of killing off the main character or metaphorical McDreamy in the real world, the quote production, maybe in this case that would be God, or, you know, whoever you identify as your God. Moving forward. But the metaphorical production of living in 2023 is really good at complicating narrative arcs, you know, and interweaving them in more unreal, complicated ways than the Lost series, which I will say, Lost was definitely one of the best shows out there, But the ending, oh my God, the ending quite literally is the most lazy form of writing. If that's a spoiler for you, you are never going to watch it anyway. Let's be honest with ourselves here. Yeah, Lost series finale. It's all being a dream, essentially. I swear, very few things piss me off. For a movie or a TV show to simply be like, oop, it was all a dream. And like, they're like Biggie Smalls or some shit. And then they sell it with, but look at all of the lessons we learned along the way through this dream. That was the series that you committed to, you know, I take personal offense to that, I guess it appears the more I'm shitting on that. Yeah, no, it'll always be considered lazy in my book. Like, woke up and it was a dream. But anywho, I suppose that's a bone for me to pick with the screenwriters. Which, speaking of, that is a great segue. I'm proud of myself. To get into the latest with the Hollywood strikes and break it down so it's a little bit less unclear than just knowing that Hollywood is on strike and who exactly does that mean and yada yada. So there are essentially two separate but somewhat related strikes going down, represented by two unions. The first being the Writers Guild of America for screenwriters that began back on May 2nd. And then there's a second strike being SAG-AFTRA for actors that followed on July 14th. So quite a bit later. SAG-AFTRA, it's a long ass, it's an abbreviation, believe it or not. So I'm simply not going to say the whole thing, but that's the Actors Guild, essentially. Both union labor strikes are aimed at the same organization, another abbreviation coming at you, AMPTP, Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. But really, think of them as the hostage negotiators on behalf of studios, production studios. It's a really aggressive comparison I just made, but I finished watching Hijack on Apple TV Plus relatively recently, and it was fucking fantastic. So definitely recommend that series. It's so good. Anyway, so both of these strikes with the writers and the actors of Hollywood are the longest in recent history. The last time that both writers and actors were on strike at the same time was back in 1960, actually. The strikes have stalled numerous TV shows and movies and films, and production studios have lost already millions of dollars, so much so that Warner Bros., even after Barbie movie being one of the highest grossing movies of all time, they've already projected a $500 million loss or hit to this year's earnings. I struggle to feel that badly for them. You know, but that's a lot of money in the scheme of things. It's a lot of money to me. I don't know about you, but anyways, and I was reading and researching about this, and according to a New York Times article that I will link in the show notes, analysts suggest that overall, movie and film studios will lose $1.6 billion in global ticket sales from movies alone being pushed from their original fall release dates to sometime next year in 2024 due to the strikes. So why are these happening? It's pretty valid, as the demands from writers and actors unions are essentially to increase compensation, as the streaming era has significantly changed the way that the industry works, namely the economy of it too, and the way and how people are paid, royalties and all that good shit. What I find super interesting and something I hadn't thought about is because of the plethora of TV shows and content essentially to watch now, series kind of average number of episodes in a season has gone down from something like 20 pre-streaming, or at least the major streaming era that we're in now, for about 20 episodes to something like 5 or 6. You know, we're starting to see way more docuseries or longer episode but shorter seasons has become way more common now. But what that means for writers is they now have to look for far more jobs for now usually less money too. And I mean, let's be real, that's pretty much reality. This reality of having to find more jobs that are actually paying less now, and it costs a lot of money to exist. Nearly every industry is facing that right now, as we're like facing utter just economical shit. But another major part of these strikes is in relation to AI. It's already affecting writers' credited works and therefore compensation for their works. So artificial intelligence has been essentially taking screenwriters' work and regurgitating it back out to normal users like you and me, or even writers for other shows that can then make it sound like that particular piece of writing. So, for example, you could say, "Dearest ChatGPT robot, please outline a script for a comedic female-led drama in the tone of Broad City," doing yada, yada, yada. And suddenly you have kind of a low-key plagiarized new script, but it's legal. You know what I'm saying? So there are companies already that are trying to protect this by not allowing AI and ChatGPT. ChatGPT is just one application of AI, just so we're clear. But just reducing AI's ability to plagiarize, really, kind of maintaining creative works going on. So in order to combat that, it's basically restricting AI from scraping the internet from protected works like TV shows and movies and such, which it's already kind of happening. And in my very own humble, very, very humble opinion, kind of feels like we're past the point of no return when like the literal head of AI at Google has already resigned because of safety concerns. Okay. You can call me a pessimist if you want, but I've already seen I Am Robot, and I know how the story ends, and I don't like it. I don't think any of us like it. Where are we at now, you ask? No one asked that, but I'm going to tell you where we're at now with the Hollywood strikes. So as of, this was Monday, September 25th. As of Monday, the Writers Guild is now reviewing a tentative deal from AMPTP, aka the Production Studios Negotiating Organization, which could possibly end the now 148-day strike at the time of recording this. That's supposedly conceded to majority of the screenwriters' demands. Well, because, I mean, I guess that's obvious. That's kind of how negotiations work after strikes. As for the actors' union, the actor strike with SAG-AFTRA, however, that continues to be going on as planned. Or as has been. There are no negotiations have been started at all, and the actors' request do extend a little bit further from the writers in that they're asking for 2% of streaming revenue. 2%. And apparently, studios have basically LOL'd at this demand, and so that's why it's continued. Nothing's really been reached with them. The chance that with the Writers Guild having potentially come to at least a little bit more of an agreement here, that maybe that could mean the same thing for actors, but who's to say? So actors continue and writers are, for the most part, standing hand in hand through the SAG-AFTRA strike. So what does that mean in terms of us and the shit that we're watching on TV? It means most TV shows and movies are still at a standstill, despite the writers reaching an agreement because of the actors continuing. However, things like late night and talk shows, SNL, Drew Barrymore, who was already under fire for about two, she didn't actually restart it, but she was going to resume production of her talk show until she was basically like hate bombed enough on social media that she changed her mind. Those shows can now go back on because the hosts and such are not technically actors or part of SAG-AFTRA, and the writers are back, so the writers can continue on with those kinds of shows. Another reason why we'll continue to see reality TV spike more until something is solved with the SAG-AFTRA strike. So that is the low low on what's going on there. It's definitely adding heavy strain to the industry. I mean, there are nearly 10,000, you know, other behind the scenes artists and like cinematographers and set designers and costume and makeup designers, you name it. They're also beholden to the Actors Union. So a lot of people are struggling here, and it's not like LA or Hollywood is a cheap place to live by any means at all. Now, as of publication, it is true that the writer's strike has officially ended as of today, Wednesday, September 27th, and all of the items that the writers were pushing for have been approved. Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, breaking news that Joe Jonas is part of the Jonas Brothers. Anyways, Joe Jonas and soon-to-be ex-wife Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, the Queen of the North, their public divorce just continues to get messier and sloppier as the days go on. And I won't hide who I feel like is not the asshole. I think Sophie Turner is not the asshole, and I think Joe Jonas is said asshole. But who's to say? It's never great when a couple is going through a divorce that has kids already, but then doing it in the public eye, that I can't even imagine. So not great, but they're not doing a good job for themselves of making this, you know, as painless as can possibly be in this kind of situation. But essentially, the filing said that the relationship is over due to, quote, being irretrievably broken, which, I don't know, my mind immediately, I think, did somebody cheat? Like, what's up with that? Who knows? Also, side note, does anyone remember? So they initially got married in a Las Vegas Elvis-style chapel. It was like a secret wedding, but then Diplo, was there and fucked it all up and posted a video like to Instagram of their wedding or something. And that's how everybody found out that they got married. That seems like a faux pas to me for somebody who goes to a lot of parties. That it's a real big faux pas. Anyways, so they're going through a divorce. First of all, it was made clear and it came to light that Sophie Turner was made aware of Joe filing for divorce at the very same time as all of us. That alone tells me exactly what I need to know about Joe Jonas as a partner and, well, human being. Sure, you know, she could be lying, but I don't think that's the case when really directly following the news, so many stories were, quote, leaked that made Sophie look really bad. Like, take the supposed Ring camera footage of Sophie. Don't even remember how we found out that this is part of their divorce story, but it all kind of seemed to be coming from Joe and just kind of made her look really bad. That said, that this Ring camera footage is part of why their lives were just their marital lives were ruined. So the supposed Ring camera footage of Sophie that allegedly had something big to do with the reason for their divorce that nobody really knew. The word on the streets is that her co-star, male co-star, came back with her to her place. This is back where they're filming, I believe, in the UK. And Joe Jonas asked this rental property owner if he could have access to the live footage. I don't know, because this is starting to get real Daily Mail over here with all the speculation. But they essentially insinuated, or Joe's camp insinuated, that Sophie is this party girl that is living a whole different lifestyle, and Joe is this stay-at-home, you know, mature dude. You know, in my experience and understanding of this is usually insecurity is loud, honey, and confidence is quiet. Joe was the loud one from the get-go. And that usually gives off this guilty scent, you know, a lot of projection going on here, which, yeah, would track for based on the kind of person that I think he might be. The latest is Sophie Turner had hit him with a lawsuit after Taylor Swift and Sophie Turner were seen publicly going to dinner. So this all, the divorce was filed September 1st, and they were seen going out to dinner about a week ago. Everyone flipped out because, well, these are two exes of Joe Jonas. Because let's remember, take a little walk down memory lane here, that Joe Jonas supposedly broke up with Taylor Swift through a 27-second voicemail. Yeah, a voicemail. So far his track record isn't looking great. The lawsuit was based on custody of the children and where they should stay throughout the duration of kind of the legal divorce proceedings. Ultimately, it was resolved in that the children will stay in New York instead of the UK, but it's giving Maury. Judge Judy, you get what I'm saying. Those really, the daytime, like, talk show where they sit down and figure out who's the father. And anyways, I used to watch Maury when I would fake sick at my school infirmary. I feel like that was always on. And the Ellen Show. And the only thing that they would give us, the nurses at school would give us to feel better, it was always Sprite and crackers. Sprite and crackers, you skinned your knee, have some Sprite and crackers. You have a massive headache and you're throwing up, have some Sprite and crackers. You're depressed, Sprite and crackers. It's kind of like their version of the, for my big fat Greek wedding, the Weendex scene. We're going to move on to Kourtney Kardashian, who is being blasted online by the mayor of Malibu, Eric Silverstein, for supposedly falsely claiming to rent a huge Malibu mansion for a 94-person, it was a very specific number, baby shower, when really it was for a much larger 600-plus person Poosh influencer event. Poosh is Kourtney Kardashian's business. It's like a wellness brand. Think like Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop. They all have these weird ass names, and all these celebrities, if they don't have a podcast, and obviously, yes, high pot, high kettle, whatever. If they don't have that, then they have a wellness brand or something like that. So this was Kourtney's contribution to the Kardashian empire. So the word is that this past weekend, there was a huge Poosh event for Kourtney's company. For influencers in particular, they rented out this Malibu mansion. And what actually happened is there was tons of different, I don't know, swag rooms and lots of vendors that are there, drinks and manicures and massages and all this good shit that I totally wish I was invited to. I have, you know, the opinion, the Maddie opinion of influencer events that's like, aren't we all sick of that? Like, it's getting us plebeians a little annoyed with these brands that are just giving more free shit to the people that make a lot of money already, you know, like I could use the free shit instead of like Alex Earl. But then I get real with myself and I mean, I would go, and it probably does work for those businesses, which is why they're still doing them. So I digress. That's my problem, is sometimes I see both sides. And so I just never have a full on strong opinion, you know? It's kind of like what it's like existing these days. It's very gray. It's always gray. But anyways, I digress. So instead of this 94-person baby shower that it was claimed to be, the event was used for a much larger one. But the kicker is that this rented Malibu mansion is the next door property of the Malibu mayor himself, Eric Silverstein. So he was basically annoyed that he couldn't leave his home or get through all the traffic because it was wild and crazy and technically fraudulent. But he wrote in a post, according to this Fox 11 Los Angeles article, he wrote his own, the mayor wrote his own post titled, it's a long ass title, first of all, City of Malibu continues to place celebrities and the uber-wealthy over residents. City staff sells out to Kardashians and grants emergency expedited permit for a large event in a vacant single-family home in private neighborhood. Also said the party was negative for the residents. Quote, as an elected official, however, I am appalled by the situation, and it helps me understand what residents throughout the city are dealing with, Silverstein wrote. The mayor himself is actually annoyed that he couldn't go on with his daily life as normal because there was just so much traffic. And isn't that in and of itself kind of its own misuse or abuse of power too? Like another pot called kettle black situation. I hope I'm using that correctly. But I'll find out once I release this episode. I will. So really, that's the drama. I doubt there's actually any legal ramifications that will happen to Kourtney Kardashian, but she apparently didn't even go to the Poosh wellness influencer event she threw at this mansion. She's pregnant and instead had the actual baby shower, probably back at her home, I believe. I don't know. But I think that the world is becoming a bit bored of the Kardashians and their dynasty over pop culture. Curious to see what the timeline looks like. I mean, I think they have a whole ass other generation that's coming up. We see the TikToks. Well, there are TikToks of North, Kim Kardashian's daughter. North and Kim will do a lot of TikToks, but they have the comments turned off. And that's the only way she can use it, I guess. So we see little glimpses into the future, the little Kardashians. So I don't know. I'm not sure they'll go away fully. But speaking of pop culture dynasties, Taylor Swift gave the people exactly what they wanted after there was speculation of her and the Kansas City Chiefs tight end, Travis Kelce, were dating. So people had speculated that this was happening. Even we got ESPN commentators last week during the games making little kind of funny hints and like using Taylor Swift lyrics as they're narrating the football game. Narrating is not the word. I can't think of it right now. MCing. Oh God. Speaking English right now is hard for me today. I don't know. So anyways, after all of that speculation, we see Taylor at the latest Kansas City Chiefs game. She was cheering him on from a box suite with his mom and kind of was bringing me back to the You Belong With Me music video where she's like holding up a sign in the house across the way, like through the window to her crush, which not a good dating strategy, I don't think, but that's what it was giving me. I mean, look. Of all the past boyfriends that Miss Taylor Swift has had, I gotta say I can get down with Kelce. I mean, shit, the whole like population of women could probably get down with Kelce. And yes, lots of men have already been on board with him as he's, well, played the game of football for a while and has already been known for that long before the Taylor Swift rumors came about and the spectacle went down. But I gotta say, I love that they're kind of just having fun with it, even if it's not that serious. They were spotted leaving the Chiefs game last Sunday in a literal vintage getaway car, like straight out of a movie or maybe a music video. I don't know. And they went to a local restaurant where they proceeded to pay for everybody's meal in the restaurant so that they would get the fuck out. And they had a private little, not private little, they had a private dinner in this restaurant, a dinner date. So we'll see. I don't know. This is feeling like it's a joke that we're all happy to see, but we shall see. There's one thing that is true about this is the sheer population of NFL fans plus the population of Swifties out there, that's practically the whole United States of America. And if even a disease that threatened us all couldn't bring us together as a country, Maybe it's Travis and Taylor. Who's to say? Stranger things have happened. Love is Blind season 5 is upon us, folks. The first 4 episodes have been released on Netflix, and let me tell you, this season delivers so far. It is one of the biggest dumpster fires of a season. There are far more red flags than there are green or beige or whatever color you want to go with. It is a roller coaster. Unhinged people are on this season, which is why it's a great season, and I encourage you to watch it. For those that aren't aware, it is a reality TV dating show where the premise is to determine if love is truly blind, and they do so by going on essentially speed dates to begin with, going on dates through pods where they cannot see each other and they sit in these rooms and speak to each other, but they're not allowed to give away any describing information about what they look like, what kind of money they have. I mean, I'm sure they could do that part, but the premise is really to get to know somebody for what's inside. And that sounds all lovely and cheerful and butterflies and rainbows and world peace, but it is far from it. And it's kind of, the show itself has already faced a lot of backlash and some controversies that I think are easy to forget, and conversation hasn't really picked back up from it. So there are some contestants that were on previous seasons that have filed lawsuits against the production studio, Kinetic, I believe it's called, for inhumane labor conditions. There was a big insider expose that was released early this year, back in spring, in April, and contestants have come out and said that producers have deprived them of food, of sleep, essentially preyed on their anxieties and their mental health, and refused to let them quit, even if they had serious mental health issues on the line or were breaking down and all that. It's both surprising, and obviously that's a really shitty thing to do, and that's horrible if that is what's really going on. But also, let's be real, reality TV shows, I feel like we all have this knowledge that it's probably not the safest spot for mental health, you know? Probably not somewhere to go if you're struggling. But that doesn't stop many people, and that doesn't stop us from watching it all. Essentially, there are contestants who have alleged that they had 20-hour filming days. They only saw the light of day in the first 10 days when they're actually in the pods and dating multiple people whenever they needed to go to the restroom out in these trailers. Otherwise, it's windowless, and they are constantly feeding them alcohol. This is all alleged. Constantly feeding them alcohol, way more than water or food. And they're hardly getting any sleep either, so that's why you'll see some contestants like sleeping on the couch. I mean, essentially what they want to do is break them down so they get the more drama, and that's pretty messed up and probably something that should not happen. Contestants have said that none of it's really scripted. Everything you see is real, real lives and real emotions, which, you know, we can't say about all dating reality TV shows, I don't think, but who am I to say? Some were so exhausted that they'd fall asleep during their dates, which we saw last season. Many cast members have said that they've had panic attacks while filming, and even all the while producers pressuring them to stay. Just crazy things, even going down to people being really in a low place and having suicidal thoughts, which if this is all true, this is horribly messed up. But these allegations were, well, more than allegations, this lawsuit was filed back in June of 2022 from a season 2 cast member named Jeremy Hartwell. He sued Netflix and the production studio Kinetic Content, accusing them of labor law violations based on all of those allegations. Even so, there are plenty of other past contestants that have included their stories in this insider expose. Nearly 9 or so people that provide their examples of being mistreated or there being labor law violations throughout the article that I highly recommend you read. I'll also link this in the show notes, of course. Things like that come out and you ask yourself, okay, well, if this is all true and there's all this terrible treatment, why don't they leave? It's because there's $50,000 on the line. If they do leave the show, if they break rules, it's something in their contract that is what really binds them to continuing to film. What some previous contestants and the filers of the lawsuit themselves are aiming to do to try and remedy this for all reality TV show contestants and stars and what have you is to form some sort of union like we have with the writers and actors, but for people that are essentially employees of these reality TV shows so that they're not used and abused for the name of entertainment. And obviously, coming from somebody who loves reality TV shows, you know, I think that there is somewhat of a responsibility to at least be aware of what's going on behind the scenes, because that is not good. And I do hope that this union is formed. I think there have been several instances where people's mental health has been severely damaged following the show, and they see themselves however they're portrayed, or you've got like internet trolls coming after you. That can happen to anyone, though. So I don't know. Regardless, it's a problem. And just like with the writers and actors and Hollywood strike, I think it's easy to this day and age to say, well, X, Y, and Z group has it so much worse, so shut up. Or, you know, you're already coming from a privileged position, so shut up and your problems and the issues that you're dealing with don't matter. Like, it's so easy, and I feel like that's kind of what the general public tends to do with things like this. But in the same manner, in the same breath, they're people too, you know? It goes against everything. It's like when someone's like, oh, I don't like feminists because they hate men and all of that. It's, no, it's all about equality, about females and males. And I don't know why I said females and males, like this is biology class, but I digress. I think that the camps that are saying because people have privilege that their problems don't matter at all and don't deserve any attention is the complete antithesis of equality and but then again, remember y'all, insecurity is loud as fuck. That's kind of the latest. The lawsuit, there hasn't been much public information since then released, and even still they released their fifth season. They had already filmed at that point in time, but you can even tell in the editing that they are making sure to get people eating food, like, filmed. There's even a dude that just had a handful of, like, lunch meat and was just, that's it, just in his hands and was just gnawing on some lunch meat. That's the kind of information that I would have liked in the pods if I was dating that guy and had any interest. I'd want to know that. I'm not sure if it would either make me like him more or make me want to break up with him immediately. Because you got to respect it, you know? You got to respect the dedication to lunch meats. Regardless, I got to say I would never put myself in this position, but I'm glad there are people that will so that we can watch it. This season has been absolutely crazy bonkers already, and there's only 4 episodes out. And you've got a wide-ranging cast of characters. There are a lot of scientists this season, which is interesting. There is a geologist named Lydia, who's 32 and Puerto Rican. And from the get-go, you know, she's going to be a major part of the show because she gets a lot of screen time. And at first, you like her. But then she keeps talking and doing things, and it's absolutely wild. And I will not spoil the show for you yet, because we will discuss the season once all the episodes are out or as we're nearing the actual weddings. Highly recommend this season if you have a lazy day on the couch and you're looking for something to watch. So we will be chatting about that in later episodes as well. We'll also have guests coming on to co-host with me. So get excited for that. And if you have any suggestions or any feedback on topics or guests that you would like to have on the show or hear on Easily Entertained, please do not hesitate to let me know. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed. And if you did, do me a favor, por favor, and leave a review on any of the streaming platforms that you're listening from. Absolutely love that, especially if it's positive. If it's negative, don't do it. Thanks. And give us a follow on Instagram at Easily Entertained Pod, and make sure you are subscribed so you get the latest in the entertainment and pop culture world right when it drops. Love you all. Have a great rest of your day, your evening, your whatever it is. Love ya. Mwah. Bye.